After paying off the mortgage, Sonny, Buddy, and Betty felt that they should celebrate, so they started in with ice cream soda. While they were enjoying themselves at the soda fountain, they heard the screaming sirens of the fire department, and rushing outside, they discovered that the house car was on fire. Tonight, we find them gathered around the burning car as Sonny says...
Look, Buddy, the truck's about to catch on fire, too.
Yes, can't we cut the truck loose from the house car and save it?
We've just got to save the piano and the calliope somehow. I'll tell you, you cut the truck loose, Buddy, and I'll start the motor and back you down the street.
Okay, if I can only get close enough to disconnect it. Here goes. Oh, boy, this fire is hot. Hey, Jarko, come and help me with this truck.
What are we going to do with it?
We're going to try and save it and get it away from the fire. Come on, get up here.
All right, Sonny. It's disconnected. Take it away.
All right. Drive it down the street, Jarko.
How far did you want me to take it?
Just far enough that it'll be safe from the fire.
All right, here goes. Is this far enough, Sonny?
Yeah, that's okay. Leave it there.
Look, Betty, they just about got the fire out.
Oh, thank goodness. Was there much damage to the house car?
Not so much. The water from the hose did more damage than the fire. Everything is water-soaked. But it'll dry out.
We saved the truck by cutting it loose from the house car and running it down the street a little way where the fire couldn't reach it.
Was the truck damaged, too?
No, not a bit. And the calliope and the piano were not even scored.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, but don't look so worried, Betty. Maybe they can fix up the house car again.
I'm not so worried about that as I am about Dad. Charcoal, are you sure Dad was not inside when the fire started?
Yes, ma'am. I'm positive. Mrs. Doc walked down the street by 5 minutes before I see the fire. I don't reckon he even knows about it, or else he'd be back here before now.
Well, where were you when the fire started, Charcoal?
I was on the back platform of the truck. I was sweeping up and getting ready for the show. I smelled smoke, and when I looked up, Lord of mercy, there was smoke pouring out of every window in the house yard. At first, I thought you all was inside smoking out the skeeters, and then I remembered that you all had gone downtown and that Mr. Doc was gone, too, so I run in the house yard, and great group of dust alive. All the curtains on all the windows and all the mattresses was on fire, so I runs across the street to the drugstore and turns in the alarm.
Well, it was lucky that you boys thought about saving the truck.
Yes, ma'am, that sure was quick thinking.
Well, how do you think the fire started, Jarko?
You don't think somebody set it on fire, do you?
I don't know. I reckon somebody would have been watching the show throw the lighted cigarette or a match through the window.
Gee, doesn't it seem funny that the very day we pay off the mortgage and have the house car free of debt that it should catch on fire?
Yeah, and just when we thought our troubles were all over.
Well, apparently, Miss Teddy, here's your dad. I found him in the barber shop to get the sheave just if nothing had happened.
Oh, Dad, we've been searching everywhere for you. Didn't you know about the fire?
Well, not until the sheriff told me about it a few minutes ago. Of course, I heard the fire trucks go by, but I didn't pay any attention, for it never occurred to me that it would be the house car.
Betty was afraid you were asleep inside the car when the fire broke out.
No, I left here soon after you did. But tell me, was anyone hurt?
No one but Buddy. He burned his hands a little when he was cutting the truck loose from the house car.
Oh, Dad, look at that car. It's ruined.
Mm-hmm. Pretty bad, pretty bad. Was the truck destroyed, too?
No, it's okay. We saved it. And the piano and the calliope are safe, too.
Well, that's fortunate.
But, Dad, what will we do about our house car? Where will we sleep?
Well, I guess we'll have to live at the hotel until our little home is repaired.
Yeah, but, Dad, we have money enough to have it repaired. We've just spent all the money we had paying off Jim's debt.
Well, don't let that worry you. Fortunately, the house car was insured. And I guess the insurance company will fix it up. That's very likely. They'll make it look like new.
Oh, boy, isn't that luck?
I'll say it is. You know, I never thought about it being insured.
We'll be protected, all right. I was planning to have the house car repainted and remodeled anyway. So while the job is being done, your children can live comfortably at the hotel.
Oh, boy, that'll be swell.
See, well, we got some good advertising out of the fire anyway. Look at the crowd still hanging around.
Isn't it funny how a fire will attract people? And they won't leave until the last spark's been put out.
Yeah, and even then they stand around and talk about it and ask everyone how it started.
Hey, Doc, why don't you make use of this here crowd? Get up there and tell them that you're going to have a fire sale. Tell them you're going to sell medicine at 98 cents a bottle tonight.
Say, that's a good idea, Sheriff.
It certainly is. Well, Charcoal, back the truck up here and let's get started before the crowd leaves. Betty, you hop on and play the calliope. Now, don't go away, folks. Don't go away. We're just about to reward you for coming to see our fire. Our loss is your gain. I'm going to sell Dr. LaBrie's tonic and tonic tonight at a price never before quoted. It's going to sell at 98 cents a bottle. Not because it's damaged, but because you good people ran out here to help us put out the fire. I want to show you that I appreciate it.
Here he is, Mr. Doc. Here's the truck, Mr. Doc. Hop on, Razzle. Get aboard, Sambo.
And here they are, folks. And now, boys, after the calamity that has just happened, can you tell us a funny story?
Boy, it couldn't be no funnier than what happened to that young preacher downtown today, Mr. Doc.
What was that?
Well, you know, he don't believe in women smoking.
Yeah.
He says they won't go to heaven if they smoke. So he stopped old Aunt Dinah down the street this morning, and she was a puffing away at an old corn cob pipe. And the preacher said, Aunt Dinah, don't you know you won't get to heaven if you smoke that pipe? Supposing after you dies and goes up to St. Peter and tries to get into pearly gates, and St. Peter smells tobacco smoke on your breath, you think he's going to let you into heaven? Dinah looked at him and said, young man, when I goes to heaven, I expects to leave my breath behind.
And here's news for everybody, folks. Lester says love is just around the corner. All right.
Love is just around the corner, any cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner when I'm around you. I'm a sentimental mourner, and I couldn't be forlorner when you keep me on a corner just waiting for you. Now Venus de Milo was noted for her charm. Strictly between us, you're cuter than Venus. And what's more, you got arms. Let's cuddle in a corner, in a cozy little corner. Love is just around the corner, and I'm around you.
Hey, boy.
Love is just around the corner.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Just any cozy little corner.
You don't say.
Love is just around the corner when I'm around you.
That's nice.
No, I'm a sentimental mourner.
Sure enough.
And I couldn't be forlorner when you keep me on a corner just waiting for you.
No fooling.
You know some? You know Venus de Milo?
Yeah.
Well, she was just noted for her charm.
So I hear.
But strictly between us, I think you're cuter than Venus. And what's more, you've got arms. Let's cuddle in a corner.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Just any cozy little corner.
I don't want to.
Love is just around the corner. And I'm around you.
We just see the big accident down the street, Mr. Doc.
Right.
A farmer was standing out in the middle of the highway road when one of them big sightseeing buses come speeding down the road, honking the horn. Well, sir, the farmer, he stepped out of the way and let the big car whiz by. And there was a little Austin car coming close behind the big bus.
Little Austin?
Uh-huh. But the farmer, he didn't see the little tiny Austin car. It knocked him down and ran over. So he got up and he dusted himself off and looked after the big bus and the little Austin car, and he says, well, I swan, I didn't know them gall darn things had colts running along behind them.
And now Sambo has advice and good advice for everybody. He says, wrap your troubles in dreams.
When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Just wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. Say it's no use to grumble, just smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day, say? Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain, and wrap your troubles in dreams, and dream your troubles away.
And now I'll pass among the folks, Charcoal, and give them all a chance to do themselves a favor.
Here I come. Have your money ready. Who's going to be first?
Betty, what do you think? Mother's here. She's outside with a lawyer, and boy, has she got news.
News? News about what?
She says she's at last found all the information she's been looking for. She knows who your mother and father are and what your real name is and all about you.
She knows?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did she tell you who I am? Tell me, Sonny. Tell me, Buddy, quickly.
Well, we don't know. She hasn't told us. She's waiting for you. Come on, Betty.
Yes, hurry. This is important.
At last, I'm to learn who my real mother and father were. Oh, hurry, boys, hurry.
How many of you boys and girls listening in tonight have already made up your minds as to who Betty really is? Our next chapter will be another big surprise. So don't fail to join our happy gang and learn Betty's secret.